more Minnesotans. Get their radio news here than anywhere else. News Radio 830 WCCO and WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
CBS News, I'm Barry Bagnato at the Supreme Court. It's hard to overestimate the importance of the ruling about to come down here. The nine justices will be revealing whether they believe President Obama's landmark health care reform law is constitutional or whether all of it or part of it must be struck down. There is an intense atmosphere of anticipation here. Belly dancers against the law, shaking on the sidewalk. Lisa Nan Colas, scribbling a sign, says she had to come here from Lewistown, Pennsylvania.
Because Obamacare is unconstitutional. Because this is where I need to be.
Ready to debate her and other opponents, Rachel Wolf.
It's amazing to be out here. You know, I could go fact for fact with them. I think a lot of their facts are completely inaccurate. But the fact that they're here, you know, that's what America is about.
History here is just moments away. I'm Barry Bagnato at the Supreme Court with more CBS News. Here's Frank Settapani.
Cloudy and 73 degrees in the Twin Cities. Good morning. I'm Steve Murphy. WCCO News, this morning's top story, as we heard on CBS, the U.S. Supreme Court issues its much-anticipated ruling on the federal health care reform law this hour, perhaps in just moments. And Minnesotans are keeping close watch. You will hear special reports throughout the morning here and at WCCO.com.
Breaking news from the WCCO News Center.
Good morning. This is Steve Murphy in the newsroom along with John Hines, and we are going to be going to a special report from CBS in just seconds. We'll get this report on the entire ruling now from CBS. It is 9:10.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Dan Raviv. Moments ago, the Supreme Court ruled on health care reform, and a key part of the health care reform, the so-called individual mandate, which would compel most Americans to purchase health insurance, appears to have survived. That noise, by the way, is outside the Supreme Court building. Hundreds of demonstrators are there. Believe it or not, those are belly dancers in support of health care reform. Let's turn to CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato, joining us live at the Supreme Court. I know you're still reading the printed decision just released, Barry.
Yes, it's a very complex decision, but it appears that the individual mandate, that most controversial aspect of the Affordable Care Act, survives as a tax under Congress's taxing power, but Chief Justice Roberts writes that it has to be construed under the Commerce Clause as something that Congress doesn't have the power to do. Bottom line, it appears to survive as a tax, but the Supreme Court also rules that the expansion of Medicaid that's included within the Affordable Care Act is not constitutional. So it appears that the court has struck down that key aspect of the Affordable Care Act. There's a lot to read here. We'll have to go through the day and determine exactly what this opinion is going to mean, but it appears that the individual mandate at least has survived, but the expansion of Medicaid that's included in the health care reform law is gone. Dan?
We will be coming back to you, Barry, as this day goes on. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen, as you see it, this mixed ruling, what does it mean for the health care reform?
Well, it's a surprise, Dan. A lot of people thought it would be the other way around, that the Medicaid expansion would survive and that the individual mandate would not. What the court did, what the Chief Justice did, was to foment a compromise that allows the individual mandate to go forward as a tax. It wasn't what the government had argued, but it's what the law requires. And now we have to wait and see how that impacts the rest of the ruling. But look, if the mandate is okay, it is a big political victory for the White House. It's a big political victory for the Solicitor General's office and for the Congress.
That's the way it looks right now. And by the way, Chief Justice John Roberts appears to have joined the liberals on the court in making some key parts of the ruling. We'll have a lot more coverage as the day goes on. And we're just continuing for reaction. In fact, we expected to hear from President Obama today, especially if the Affordable Care Act, which is a cornerstone of his first term in office, were struck down. If it was struck down, but it hasn't been. Apparently, the key part is affirmed by the court. Again, kind of complicated. The way the individual mandate was written up by Congress, the requirement that Americans purchase health insurance, the court says that wasn't right under the so-called Commerce Act. Let's go back to Barry Bagnato at the Supreme Court. You must be seeing some more as you read the ruling, Barry.
We are, but you know, the one thing that stands out here, Dan, especially, is how fractured the court is over this ruling. Two or three justices, in fact, are only joining together for the Medicaid expansion part of this ruling. They are Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Breyer, and Justice Kagan. The court is badly split, and so it's going to require a lot of interpretation, not only from experts, but from other courts and from legislators to determine exactly what is going on with the ruling.
Okay, thank you. Let's turn back to Andrew Cohen, who joins us by telephone now. On a legal basis, there were three separate cases that went to the court, but the Supreme Court decided to take up the issues rather than these three specific appeals cases, Andrew.
Sure, and what happens, Dan, is the cases get consolidated. That's the best way to describe it. All three of them become part of one decision, and that's why, as Barry says, you have a fractured court. A lot going on here, and the way to look at it sort of conceptually is each of the issues, the mandate, the Medicaid, the Anti-Injunction Act stuff, they all generate their own little votes within the votes, and that's why we're seeing so much fracturing on the court. But again, the headline here is, if the mandate survives, most of what the president wanted survives, and he will have John Roberts to thank for it. John Roberts, the one coming over, the Republican appointee, the George W. Bush appointee, coming over to that side. It'll be fascinating to read the details, and it'll be fascinating to see what the dissents say, especially from the more conservative justices, Scalia and Thomas and Alito. Their thoughts on the mandate should be fascinating.
Again, Dan, when it comes to the individual mandate. Oh, yeah, Barry, you have something to add? Go ahead.
Yes, back at the Supreme Court, it's interesting to read at the very end of the opinion, after the court concludes that the expansion of Medicaid is unconstitutional, it doesn't take the next step of throwing out the entire law. In fact, listen along with me here. It says, the Chief Justice finds that the withholding of federal funds under Medicaid, not the granting of them, is incompatible with the Constitution. So Congress's extension of Medicaid remains available to any state that affirms its willingness to participate. So states that want to participate in this expansion can under this ruling. Also, it says that it finds no basis to tear down the entire Affordable Care Act. It says when a court confronts an unconstitutional statute, its endeavor must be to conserve, not destroy the legislation. So that seems to be another of those key points that's coming out of this ruling, that the court is not going to tear apart, even with its problems with the Affordable Care Act, it's not going to tear it apart in its entirety. It will still remain, at least in some part, and by the looks of things, in great part.
That's the Affordable Care Act. You could say upheld by the Supreme Court. That would mean a political win for President Obama. So we turn to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer. Any early reaction or your thoughts, Peter?
Well, not yet from the White House. They are going to analyze this full thing, but we do know we are going to hear from the president at some point during the day. But, Dan, this landmark ruling validates the very glue that binds the entire health care reform law together. The mandate, the rule requiring all Americans to have health insurance, is, of course, the very heart of this law. And, in fact, here's how President Obama described the stakes on it just 2 months ago.
In the absence of an individual mandate, you cannot have a mechanism to ensure that people with pre-existing conditions can actually get health care.
Again, that was the president speaking at a news conference in April. He will again address the nation at some point today after he and his legal and political advisors analyze the full impact of today's ruling. But from a legal and political and practical and legacy standpoint, a big day for this president, Dan.
All right, but a lot to sort out, a lot of details.
Absolutely.
We do expect to hear from President Obama later. Thanks. That's CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer. Okay, we'll recap what the Supreme Court has done just in the last 5 minutes or so, upholding a key part of the Affordable Care Act. That's the health reform law that was passed 2 years ago, and by that key part, we mean the individual mandate that would require, in general, Americans to purchase health insurance, not agreeing with how Congress did it, but agreeing that that requirement is constitutional if done as a tax under taxation law. All right, a little complicated, it's true, and also a key ruling on the Medicaid part. And all in all, this is, again, a big political headline, the Chief Justice John Roberts, appointed by the Republican George W. Bush, he has sided with the liberals on the court, and so we'll hear dissenting views, and we'll be reporting on them from many of the conservative justices. This has been a CBS News special report with Peter Mayer, Barry Bagnato, and Andrew Cohen. I'm Dan Revive, CBS News.
We've got a special report coming up now, as a matter of fact. News Radio 830 WCCO, a recap of the issuing of the Supreme Court ruling on health reform. Now on WCCO.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Gary Nahn. The Supreme Court has upheld the portion of the Affordable Care Act requirement that most Americans have health insurance. We're live now with CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnaro in Washington.
Moments ago, the court upheld the glue that holds the Affordable Care Act together, the individual insurance requirement under Congress's taxing powers. It has ruled the expansion of Medicaid included in the law is unconstitutional by withholding funds if states don't go along. But if states choose to participate in the expansion as part of reform, they can. That's valid, Chief Justice Roberts says. And even with its problems, the entire act should not be thrown out. Roberts says when a court confronts an unconstitutional statute, its endeavor must be to conserve, not destroy, the legislation. Gary?
We are with CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Andrew, we're still going through the opinion. What have you determined so far?
Well, the big story is the mandate. That was the whole backbone of the federal law. The other thing that's interesting, even though the majority, even though John Roberts had a problem with the Medicaid expansion, he didn't strike it down. He didn't tear it from the rest of the law, allowing states to sort of work their way through it with the federal government. Some states will, some states perhaps won't, and that's probably a fight for another day. But this is a huge victory for the White House. It's a huge victory for the Democrats in Congress who had passed the law 829 days ago was when the law got passed.
Again, the Supreme Court has upheld the portion of the Affordable Care Act requirement that most Americans have health insurance. CBS News Special Report, I'm Gary Nunn.
Breaking news from the WCCO News Center.
This is Steve Murphy in the News Center, and we do expect Governor Romney to step up to the podium any moment now in Washington.
This is a CBS News Special Report. I'm Dan Revive in Washington. Mitt Romney will be reacting to the health reform ruling by the Supreme Court. Romney is in Washington, D.C. today. The presumptive Republican candidate for president will have his reaction. Other Republicans have told CBS News they are disappointed, but now absolutely intent on repealing the Affordable Care Act. Most of its key components upheld today by the Supreme Court. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer, this is surely a day that will be remembered in this year's political campaign.
Well, it certainly is. Big political implications. And Dan, a bit of color here. Interesting to note, Mitt Romney is speaking near Constitution Avenue here in Washington, less than 2 hours after the Supreme Court found the key provision of the health care reform law to be constitutional. We look for him here to seize on the court's ruling upholding the coverage mandate under the federal government's power to levy taxes. He'll describe it as a tax increase, I believe, from what we're hearing from Republicans. He'll want to pivot as he returns the campaign trail back to the economy as soon as possible. But he has to be careful. The White House likes to remind voters, Democrats like to remind voters, Dan, that this individual mandate idea and other parts of the federal law came straight from Romney's own Massachusetts health care law. He, of course, argues that was part of a state-only plan that now that he's running for president says should not be moved to the national level. But Romney clearly wants to be seen as the next big hope for opponents of the law, and I think that's the theme he's really going to emphasize here coming up shortly.
The campaign sign on the lectern where Mitt Romney will be speaking says repeal and replace Obamacare. Republicans do want to repeal it. Now, there at the White House, Peter Mayer, we will hear from President Obama. Oh, we will hear from him today. I know that. Mitt Romney is approaching the lectern now. Speaking in Washington, Mitt Romney.
I disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, and I agree with the dissent. What the court did not do on its last day in session, I will do on my first day if elected president of the United States. And that is, I will act to repeal Obamacare. Let's make clear that we understand what the court did and did not do. What the court did today was say that Obamacare does not violate the Constitution. What they did not do was say that Obamacare is good law or that it's good policy. Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday. It's bad law today. Let me tell you why I say that. Obamacare raises taxes on the American people by approximately $500 billion. Obamacare cuts Medicare by approximately $500 billion. And even with those cuts and tax increases, Obamacare adds trillions to our deficits and to our national debt and pushes those obligations on to coming generations. Obamacare also means that for up to 20 million Americans, they will lose the insurance they currently have, the insurance that they like and they want to keep. Obamacare is a job killer. Businesses across the country have been asked what the impact is of Obamacare. Three-quarters of those surveyed by the Chamber of Commerce said Obamacare makes it less likely for them to hire people. And perhaps most troubling of all, Obamacare puts the federal government between you and your doctor. For all those reasons, it's important for us to repeal and replace Obamacare. What are some of the things that we'll keep in place and must be in place in a reform, a real reform of our healthcare system? One, we have to make sure that people who want to keep their current insurance will be able to do so. Having 20 million people, up to that number of people, lose the insurance they want is simply unacceptable. Number two, got to make sure that those people who have pre-existing conditions know that they will be able to be insured and they will not lose their insurance. We also have to assure that we do our very best to help each state in their effort to assure that every American has access to affordable health care. And something that Obamacare does not do that must be done in real reform is helping lower the cost of health care and health insurance. It's becoming prohibitively expensive. And so this is now a time for the American people to make a choice. You can choose whether you want to have a larger and larger government, more and more intrusive in your life, separating you and your doctor, whether you're comfortable with more deficits, higher debt that we pass on to the coming generations, whether you're willing to have the government put in place a plan that potentially causes you to lose the insurance that you like, or whether instead you want to return to a time when the American people will have their own choice in health care, where consumers will be able to make their choices as to what kind of health insurance they want. This is a time of choice for the American people. Our mission is clear. If we want to get rid of Obamacare, we're going to have to replace President Obama. My mission is to make sure we do exactly that, that we return to the American people the privilege they've always had to live their lives in the way they feel most appropriate, where we don't pass on to coming generations massive deficits and debt, where we don't have a setting where jobs are lost. If we want good jobs and a bright economic future for ourselves and for our kids, we must replace Obamacare. That is my mission, that is our work, and I'm asking the people of America to join me. If you don't want the course that President Obama has put us on, if you want instead a course that the founders envisioned, then join me in this effort. Help us. Help us defeat Obamacare. Help us defeat the liberal agenda that makes government too big, too intrusive, and that's killing jobs across this great country. Thank you so much.
That is Governor Mitt Romney speaking his press conference, not taking questions afterwards, but actually addressing the Supreme Court ruling today that basically upheld the Affordable Care Act.
Looks like we are awaiting the president. He is now walking down the hall, giving the response this morning to Supreme Court upholding the Affordable Care Act. Let's listen in.
The constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. The name of the health care reform we passed 2 years ago. In doing so, they've reaffirmed a fundamental principle that here in America, in the wealthiest nation on earth, no illness or accident should lead to any family's financial ruin. I know there will be a lot of discussion today about the politics of all this, about who won and who lost. That's how these things tend to be viewed here in Washington. But that discussion completely misses the point. Whatever the politics, today's decision was a victory for people all over this country whose lives will be more secure because of this law and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold it. And because this law has a direct impact on so many Americans, I want to take this opportunity to talk about exactly what it means for you. First, if you're one of the more than 250 million Americans who already have health insurance, you will keep your health insurance. This law will only make it more secure and more affordable. Insurance companies can no longer impose lifetime limits on the amount of care you receive. They can no longer discriminate against children with pre-existing conditions. They can no longer drop your coverage if you get sick. They can no longer jack up your premiums without reason. They are required to provide free preventive care like checkups and mammograms, a provision that's already helped 54 million Americans with private insurance. And by this August, nearly 13 million of you will receive a rebate from your insurance company because it spent too much on things like administrative costs and CEO bonuses and not enough on your health care. There's more. Because of the Affordable Care Act, young adults under the age of 26 are able to stay on their parents' health care plans, a provision that's already helped 6 million young Americans. And because of the Affordable Care Act, seniors receive a discount on their prescription drugs, a discount that's already saved more than 5 million seniors on Medicare about $600 each. All of this is happening because of the Affordable Care Act. These provisions provide common sense protections for middle-class families, and they enjoy broad popular support. And thanks to today's decision, all of these benefits and protections will continue for Americans who already have health insurance. Now, if you're one of the 30 million Americans who don't yet have health insurance, starting in 2014, this law will offer you an array of quality, affordable private health insurance plans to choose from. Each state will take the lead in designing their own menu of options. And if states can come up with even better ways of covering more people at the same quality and cost, this law allows them to do that too. And I've asked Congress to help speed up that process and give states this flexibility in year one. Once states set up these health insurance marketplaces, known as exchanges, insurance companies will no longer be able to discriminate against any American with a pre-existing health condition. They won't be able to charge you more just because you're a woman. They won't be able to bill you into bankruptcy. If you're sick, you'll finally have the same chance to get quality, affordable health care as everyone else. And if you can't afford the premiums, you'll receive a credit that helps pay for it. Today, the Supreme Court also upheld the principle that people who can afford health insurance should take the responsibility to buy health insurance. This is important for two reasons. First, when uninsured people who can afford coverage get sick and show up at the emergency room for care, the rest of us end up paying for their care in the form of higher premiums. And second, if you ask insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing conditions but don't require people who can afford it to buy their own insurance, some folks might wait until they're sick to buy the care they need, which would also drive up everybody else's premiums. That's why, even though I knew it wouldn't be politically popular and resisted the idea when I ran for this office, we ultimately included a provision in the Affordable Care Act that people who can afford to buy health insurance should take the responsibility to do so. In fact, this idea has enjoyed support from members of both parties, including the current Republican nominee for president. Still, I know the debate over this law has been divisive. I respect the very real concerns that millions of Americans have shared. And I know a lot of coverage through this health care debate has focused on what it means politically. Well, it should be pretty clear by now that I didn't do this because it was good politics. I did it because I believed it was good for the country. I did it because I believed it was good for the American people. You know, there's a framed letter that hangs in my office right now. It was sent to me during the health care debate by a woman named Natoma Canfield. For years and years, Natoma did everything right. She bought health insurance. She paid her premiums on time. But 18 years ago, Natoma was diagnosed with cancer. And even though she'd been cancer-free for more than a decade, her insurance company kept jacking up her rates year after year. And despite her desire to keep her coverage, despite her fears that she would get sick again, she had to surrender her health insurance and was forced to hang her fortunes on chance. I carried Natoma's story with me every day of the fight to pass this law. It reminded me of all the Americans all across the country who have had to worry not only about getting sick, but about the cost of getting well. Natoma is well today, and because of this law, there are other Americans, other sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, who will not have to hang their fortunes on chance. These are the Americans for whom we passed this law. The highest court in the land has now spoken. We will continue to implement this law, and we'll work together to improve on it where we can. But what we won't do What the country can't afford to do is refight the political battles of 2 years ago or go back to the way things were. With today's announcement, it's time for us to move forward, to implement and, where necessary, improve on this law. And now's the time to keep our focus on the most urgent challenge of our time, putting people back to work, paying down our debt, and building an economy where people can have confidence that if they work hard, they can get ahead. But today, I'm as confident as ever that when we look back 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, we'll be better off because we had the courage to pass this law and keep moving forward. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
That was the President of the United States, Barack Obama, weighing in on his thoughts, with his thoughts, on the Supreme Court essentially upholding the Affordable Care Act. He called it a victory for the people all over the country. And Daphne, while we were watching this, you said you saw an interesting message come across from one of the political observers, one of those pundits who keeps close track.
Well, looking at the timeline here, this is 27 months since this act was signed into law. So he was giving his victory speech from the same spot where that was announced 27 months ago. And one of the journalists tweeting that he's also wearing the same tie. So not sure if that's correct or not, but that purple tie apparently gets around a bit. And, you know, a victory speech today for the president saying that 30 million uninsured will now become insured. Here in this state, by the way, we have 509,000 residents who are currently uninsured, about 10% of the state population, who will now be signed up for insurance under this act.